Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into this episode of Bare Bones Week 2. Bears going to Houston to take on the Texans. As always, I am Mason West, and I am joined by Danny Meehan and soon to be joined by Kyrie Thompson. Danny, how you doing?
I'm good, Mason. How about yourself this fine Thursday evening?
Pretty dang good, actually. It's funny, with the vibes of Bears Twitter, of our little groups that we have on the interweb, usually on Twitter, you'd think that the Bears lost last week.
Yeah, I think it's because it didn't feel like how it was supposed to feel.
Yeah.
Like, it was funny, actually, in that group text, I remember vividly, like, typing out, like, the Bears can't score, the defense looks exhausted, they're winning based off of forced fumbles and a blocked punt return for a touch, or a blocked punt for a touchdown. I know this place. It's comfortable here.
This is home. Isn't that right, Kyrie?
Yes. As a matter of fact, so I'm watching the game, right? So I'm also watching the Patriots because I have to watch the Patriots because I write about them now.
I have to watch the Patriots. I like that sentence.
Yeah. But hey, they won. Did. So, I mean,
And Ramondre Stevenson is still a monster.
I mean, love that guy. I've loved him like from the moment he got in. So I'm watching the Patriots game on the big screen. I got the Bears game on the back of my computer screen. And I just hear all this ruckus and I'm over here just like, wait a second. How did they start winning? When did that happen? And it's just like, it looked so horrible on offense that I was just like, well, it's going to need one of those, 2006 Cardinals games kind of comeback. And I'm just like, oh, wait a second. No, they're winning now. What? Why? What? How? And of course, then I'm, go back on, the NFL Game Pass stream or whatever. And I'm just like, for real? Love that for them, though. I mean, look, you got to win however you win in the NFL. Simple as that.
You don't lose points for winning ugly, man.
I mean, especially in week one, I think that's one thing that I've in actually watching the Patriots, that bit of perspective, they were talking so much about just how effort and conditioning, matters in week one, because nobody's playing their best football right now. like they say, they call it mid-season form for a reason. This is not mid-season. This feels like preseason game four, except they have to play all the starters because the game counts. So however you win week one, good for y'all.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you heard me, Kyrie, when you were coming in, but it was like when I watched it and just felt the momentum shift after like the strip sack, the punt block return, everything, I put in the group chat that we're in just, I don't know how, but this is just my happy place. I know this. This is just so natural. This is what it's been my whole life. Like the entirety of my 34 years now as a Bears fan on this planet, it's like they've never had a good offense. And I want that to change. And I think it's eventually going to change with this guy playing quarterback.
Yeah.
But it's like just the way it happened was so just
quintessential Bears.
Quintessential vintage Bears.
Absolutely. Perfection. I mean, if you were going to draw up a way that the Bears were going – in the end, if you were going to draw up a way that the Bears were going to win, not the way that you hoped that they would win, but a way that they were going to win this game, this probably would have been – it would have been something like that. You know, Caleb Williams throws maybe one touchdown pass, but the defense just absolutely throttles the Titans, which they weren't doing the entire game, by the way. But they absolutely destroy the Titans and the Bears win like 13 to, you know, seven. So,
I know we all made something of the big adjustment was they widened out their ends so they could start attacking Levis more and containing the run a bit more. I really want to know how much of the adjustment at halftime was just guys, he's still Will Levis. Like he's not good at this. Let's go hunt kind of thing.
But yeah, I mean, we'll see. In the end, look, guys are who they are until they show you that they aren't.
Right.
And Will Levis had one really good game of football last year, and after that, he was bad. And he had a good quarter or so of ball in this one, and the rest of the time, he was kind of bad. And then he was really bad by the end. So in the end, it's just stick to your fundamentals, don't press, and just let the guy screw it up.
And we got a surrender cobra.
Now we're going to do our chart review. This is where we look at, briefly, we're going to touch on some stuff from last week, but mainly storylines from this week. So Caleb Williams became the first rookie quarterback selected number one overall to start and win his NFL debut in week one of 2002. Houston's David Carr did that, was the last person to do that. And NFL quarterbacks threw for 188.3 passing yards per game, which is the fewest in any week since 2007. In 2021, quarterbacks threw 61 passing touchdowns in week one. And this year, 35 in week one. Kyrie, why do you think that is? And does it make you feel a little bit better about that lack of output we were just talking about with Caleb?
I think that I alluded to it before, but I feel like this is what we're going to get with this three preseason game slate. It's and those passing yards have actually been decreasing every single year. There's about 272 yard average in 2021, the first year that they did the three preseason thing. And then it's gone down by about 30 yards a game since then for the week one openers. And I think it's just like, look, your best quarterbacks by and large, like they don't play preseason as much as they used to. They do the joint practices. They show up that first week of the regular season. They're like, okay, let's go. I really do feel like, and again, every game does matter in the regular season, but I do feel like they treat it a bit more as, look, this first week, everybody's going to be a little bit rusty. We're not doing this the way that we used to. Preseason's not as valuable, you know, in some cases it used to be, at least not for the starters. So it's going to be rough and we don't care. Just get out of it with a win. And then we will get back on schedule after that.
Danny, any thoughts?
I kind of echo that. Especially because the second preseason game now acts as the third preseason game. So in the third one, the starters don't even really play.
No.
And I get it's meaningless football, but Mason, you and I have specifically, I have talked about it. Like the callousing of football has to happen. You have to run into people to get used to running into people. And they're just not doing that. Yeah. And I also think defenses have just adjusted so much to these offenses that just want to fling the rock all over. that they're taking it away and they're making you earn it.
Yes.
Like everything is a battle now. It's not just, it used to be, oh, if you can beat us deep, you can beat us deep. They're not letting you do that anymore. That's why you're seeing two high come back and the single high stuff leave. Because they would prefer you nickel and dime it, and we're going to hit you until you don't want to be hit anymore.
Even the quarterback run has become a little less efficient than it has been in recent years. I mean, they're taking that away, and you have to put a lot more window dressing and kind of fancify some of your blocking schemes, even with some of these quarterback runs. We saw that with Jalen Hurts even. That was kind of the bread and butter. It's just not – defenses are catching up.
And I think it's just – The league knows. It's why you saw an emphasis on running backs getting paid this offseason. DeAndre Swift, Saquon Barkley, in Tennessee, Tony Pollard getting some dough. Like, everyone's getting paid now at running back. Not like they used to, obviously, but they're starting to come back up. And I do wonder how much of that other product is a product of, yeah, running back is fungible, but a really good running back is valuable again.
Yeah, I think and the other part too we were talking about is especially early in the season when offenses haven't had as much practice, defenses are easier to get on track. That's why you always see offenses struggle at the beginning of training camp. It's you're used to it, you expect it, right? And so defenses are a little bit more just like, look, you can plug and play, just get on the field, whereas offenses are just more moving parts. And particularly if you have a veteran quarterback who just like straight up wasn't playing and operating the offense and throwing to these receivers, et cetera, it's like it's going to take a little bit longer for that to gel. And to that point, Danny, about the running game, I think that the running back isn't necessarily back like they're going to be the most important players on the field again, because I think there's just no putting.
It'll never happen.
There's no putting that back in the box. But I think people have realized the running game still matters, whether or not it's a more efficient play, than pass. Sure, passing is going to be more efficient. We know that, but running the football still matters. Okay, and I think that people are starting to realize that. Okay, we need to have a bunch of good running backs. We can't just be throwing anybody out there. We're not the 49ers where we can just like grab whatever UDFA off the street and throw them in and they'll run for 100 yards. Not everybody's got that. Okay. You have to have a bunch of good running backs, and you have to have a bunch of good running backs who can do everything, right?
We see the Bears struggling with that right now in terms of how they're deploying Travis Homer versus Khalil Herbert. Khalil Herbert had what, three carries in the last game?
He's just so limited, though. When he's out there, you know what it's probably going to be. He's going to tote the rock.
Yeah, he can't catch the ball very well. He's not great pass pro.
He's a terrible blocker.
Sorry, I lied. Khalil Herbert had two attempts for 4 yards. Same as Velus Jones, same as Travis Homer. So this is a DeAndre Swift's backfield. Couple of bookkeeping things before we get into some quotes here. The Texans placed Jeff Okuda on IR, and they signed veteran seat cornerbacks Desmond King and Tony Pride to their practice squad. You know who else is on the practice squad for the Texans?
Notre Dame legend Tony Pride.
I had no idea Arlington Hambright was still in the league, but apparently he's on the practice squad.
Arlington.
Yeah. All right. Yesterday, Kevin Fishbane tweeted that Bears quarterback Caleb Williams said on what he wants to do to improve most from week one, the drops. Sometimes I rush my drop a little bit, not needing to. One specific route that I can think of is Rome, a 10-yard route. I rushed my drop and tried to juice it in there a little bit and missed. Danny, what do you think on that?
I think he's right. And I mean, you can call it nerves. You can call it getting amped up. You can call it whatever you want to call it. It's his first start in front of his home crowd as the number one pick. He was amped. Whether he wants to admit that he gets nervous or not, like I don't get nervous. The famous, like the viral quote from Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Like, I more subscribed to. I think it was Ray Lewis who actually said it. The second you stop getting butterflies is the second you stop caring. Like, I would much rather you get nervous. I would much rather you know that stuff it's meaningful. Like, this is your job, dude. You better be good at this.
I got to think that a little bit of that is the media training that and the character he's had to create since he was a young lad of being like, I'm too cool for school. Like he's had to kind of be that guy forever now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure it's part of it. And like I said, you can call it nerves. You can call it being amped. You can call it butterflies, whatever you want to call it. It's clear he was feeling a certain kind of way from the moment he walked out of the tunnel screaming his head off. Like, which is great. I'm glad you're excited to play football, man. That's great. But there's got to be the also, what is it? The heart rate doesn't raise kind of thing where you just don't. Anyway,
the best guys are even keel, right? Kyrie, this one's for you. Adam Hogue tweeted today, Shane Waldron admits that he can do a better job to help get the offense in a better rhythm. As for the personnel questions, he said the personnel pairings didn't really play out the way he hoped, but took responsibility for getting the reps balanced out this week. He also said, we know Cole is one of the top tight ends in the league, and he's done a great job for us. The floor is yours.
Well, it felt like what they wanted to do was get your wideouts, your 11 personnel, right? And get them on the field, get them in a little bit of a rhythm with Caleb, and get that quick passing game going. And I think that perhaps what I would have expected really from week one would have been, okay, we've got a rookie quarterback. Obviously, we want him to be good, and we like him. We think he's going to be good. But I think I would have expected to keep it a little bit more heavy, pound it a little bit more, and try to soften the defense up a bit. Now, maybe they were thinking, I don't know if our interior offensive line can really block, Jeffrey Simmons, if we can get the run game going that way, if it's just going to telegraph it too much. Problem is, they couldn't block those guys in the pass game either. So I think it probably would have been easier and better for the offensive line to really focus a little bit more on running the ball more deliberately and getting Cole Kmet on the field that way. And then maybe you're opening things up from a play action standpoint, slip him into the flat, let him run after the catch. I think this offense, as of right now, with Caleb Williams being literally having just played his first NFL game and the offense needing to gel in terms of like his relationship with the skill guys and also the offensive line just straight up needing to block better, I feel like this offense isn't going to work if Cole Kmet's not on the field consistently. I think he has to be on the field. Whether you think that he's the best tight end in the league or not, having him on the field, both as a blocker and as a potential receiver, it gives the defense more to think about as opposed to, they're spreading us out again.
I mean, I'm right there with you. I personally, I'm obviously a Cole Kmet stan, and he's one of the better players on this team, whether people like it or not. And at the end of the day, you got to get the ball in the playmaker's hands. And it bothers me that he played less than 50% of the snaps, not necessarily saying that he has to be in the field all the time. We don't want that. But Gerald Everett has shown me nothing. I'd rather he be a sprinkle than 50%. That's just me.
And the price tag would tell you he should be as well.
Yeah.
Like, people hate hearing that, but it matters.
Now, training room roundup. We're going to dive into looking at the injuries for the Bears as well as for the Texans. A lot of stuff going on the Bears right now. The two biggest ones that probably stand out, Keenan Allen didn't participate the last 2 days, and neither did Rome Odunze. At this point, I don't think Rome's playing. I mean, even with a grade one MCL, a lot of it's pain management and swelling and all that jazz, but, I would have expected him to have at least been limited today to get on the field, so I wouldn't expect him to be out there. But I do expect Keenan to play.
Yeah. I mean, I think Keenan's going to play. I would be very shocked at this moment if Rome played. I think they should err on the side of caution. But just looking at the rest, Amagaji, Bates, whatever. I do find it interesting that he's listed as,
like, he went from limited to not participating from Wednesday to Thursday today.
Yeah, I also find it interesting he's listed at offensive tackle.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. I was just ignoring it personally. Kyrie, your namesake, Mr. Blasting Game, who was on the field for basic very limited reps, and when he was on the field, not saying this was his actual fault, but good things didn't necessarily happen when he was on the field, whether it was the missed blocking assignment, which I think that's more of a scheme issue. I wouldn't have motioned him across to try to make that block on the blitzing corner. That was a little rough. Or he was on that wildcat play that only gained like 3 yards, things like that. He didn't participate with hand and knee. How important is that? I mean, I'm thinking more special teams than anything.
Special teams, but also I think it you're bored. Oh my goodness, my daughter's here. She's told me she's bored. But I think the issue there is not being able to have him in the lineup, I think also cramps the style a little bit. Hello for anybody who hasn't met Maya yet. The style a little bit for the run game too. Because being able to line up with the fullback and pan it off and go downhill, I think that also sets up, you know, being able to, you know, to boot off of some things, slip him out into the flat, or just, again, give the defense something more to think about. I do agree with you that it's not like he's going to be a big part of the offense, but I do wonder how much of him not playing well last week, and then potentially if he's not available. Obviously, you don't have to have a fullback in order to run the football, but I do think that the under center stuff, maybe if you want to get Caleb Williams under center and get hit, you know, running the ball, or, you know, doing play action looks off of that on early downs. I wonder how much of that is compromised when he's when Blossom Games A, not playing well, and B, injured.
And then Danny's favorite D tackle, Zach Pickens, is actually a full participant.
Yay.
And the crowd goes mild.
I am whelmed.
It's just that he didn't show a lot last year. I would like him to step it up as of right now. Like, it'll help your depth, of course. On that one run play for, like, I think it was like 24 yards that Tony Pollard scored, you had a lineup of, I believe it was Austin Booker, Chris Williams, and who they call a Byron Coward were out there opposite Montez Sweat. Obviously, they ran away from Montez Sweat, and I'd rather have Zach Pickens than Coward out there. I mean, to be honest, but it's not exactly a rousing thing I'm throwing out there.
No, there's a lot of stepping up that has to do. Billings is awesome.
Oh my God, Billings is a man, man.
He's so good. I can't believe they got him for nothing.
They blitzed him off the edge a couple plays.
But I just, watching it, like, Gervon had his flashes. At this point, I'm really worried that he's just a part-time pass rusher. Like, you just can't have him out there too much. He's a liability otherwise.
And then hopefully it changes. Lastly for the Bears, DeMarcus Walker. He was groin last week. This week it's foot. Limited participant, did not participate yesterday, so I'm not too worried about that. I think he should be fine. Flipping over to the Texans real quick. The biggest one probably is going to be Dalton Schultz. Didn't participate 2 weeks in a row. Or sorry, 2 days in a row. But at the same time, I mean, the Texans have a plethora of pass catchers. So is it even really the biggest issue? Or is potentially MJ Stewart, their safety, who didn't participate twice with the knee, a bigger issue?
Meh. I'm a resounding meh. Dalton's, fifth option at best in that offense? Especially if you're factoring in the running game and how important Mixon clearly is to them and Bobby Slowick when he's calling that offense.
It's like, I'm going to tell you now, we do not care.
Yeah, Dalton, yes, you got paid. Go look pretty. It's fine.
The other guys, Nico Collins out with an illness. The Texans beat writers said not to worry about that. Same thing with Damian Pierce, which you shouldn't worry about him even if he's healthy. For whatever reason, after his rookie year, he just sucked. And then Juice Scruggs, that's the only one that I'm kind of highlighting. Like, I'd be interested to see how this goes forward because he is their starting center. And if for some reason he cannot go, you're moving to Jarrett Patterson?
It's like, hey, feast on him.
Hey, that's Buffalo's finest, Jarrett Patterson, Mr. Man.
Feast on him. Kill him.
I actually knew that he was from Buffalo. It's wild to me.
I don't have a life.
Crazy, straight crazy. All right. That is all we have for our roundabout there. Keep an eye on Friday. I expect Rome not to participate again. Yada, 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 unfortunately. But I do expect Keaton to be out there.
Can we officially say that Rome has fallen? Or is that too soon?
Why would you do that? That's just sad. All right. We have a little break here from our sponsors of Kombuchade.
Proper gut health is instrumental to athletic performance and recovery. Our gut is in essence a second brain, and health researchers are continually uncovering new benefits of probiotics, scientifically connecting the dots between gut health, reduced inflammation, and stronger immunity. Kombucha-Aid is a tasty, clean label, functional option to easily add probiotics into any athlete's routine. We call it balancing your brains.
Yeah, Kombucha-Aid. Better athletic performance, increase nutrient absorption, improve wellness, and improve cognitive stamina. Use code BEARSGUTCHECK over at Kombucha-Aid. There, it's awesome. I'm drinking some right now. It's pretty dang tasty and really good for you. Be a better athlete. Seriously, it does help. Like, I've been drinking it this whole week, and my workouts have been actually pretty awesome.
Does it help 34-year-old white men who can't jump?
I'm going to say, after seeing your game, yes. Because actually, you're a really good shooter. But you stop coming, so, you know, whatever.
All right. Okay. Okay. He's a shooter. He's a sniper. I like that.
I call it white Rip Hamilton. Mid-range, run around. Danny
in my game couldn't be any more different. Like, he's just, like, snipping shots from outside, and I'm, like, doing crazy 360 layups that shouldn't go in.
Do they actually go in?
No, yeah. If I'm not at an angle, it doesn't go in.
Yeah. See for me, you know, well, up until my knee got split open, I'm definitely more of a I'm an ultra fast point guard who actually prefers to I just run breaks and hand it off. You know, I don't got to shoot at all. I don't care. But I'm a streaky scorer. Every once in a while, I'll start getting a little bit saucy. You know, and I'll just be like, I'm just going to hit a pull-up three in your face.
You heard it here first. He's Walmart brand Rajon Rondo. He's just hunting for assists because he doesn't care about anything else.
I love rebounding, and I also love – defense is where I really make my money. I'm actually I'm basketball Ed Reed is really what I am.
Basketball Ed Reed. I feel like there could have been a basketball version you used there, but we'll go with Ed Reed. We have our knee-jerk reaction.
Tony Allen?
This Tony Allen is also an ugly.
I'm not as annoying as him,
and you're not wanted dead in the city of Chicago. That also
that
knee jerk reaction. One hot take going into next week. I'll just jump right into it. I think we're going to see a bit of a different Caleb. Take his mentality first off, but also pulling this up, which I should have had ready, but I didn't. Boom. This is a chart showing time to throw and a dot. This is from Junior Fort Gang at Throw the Damn Ball, no N in damn for whatever reason, at on Twitter. A dot, right, is computed by dividing air yards by target. It reveals how deep a quarterback is throwing the ball to his targets and how many air yards he threw per target on average. Caleb's time to throw is very low. You know, if you actually look at this chart, it's pretty cool. I didn't think it'd be that low. I don't expect to stay there, though. He's going to jib and jive, extend plays. We know this about him. And there are also a lot of screens, which is going to reduce your time to throw. This is also why, combined with the poor line play we saw, him getting a little yipped up, his A dot is so low, right? He just really didn't attack downfield in any way. But you can also see from this chart that it is possible to have a low time to throw and a high A dot. For example, Tua and Carr have a pretty high A dot without having a pretty higher time to throw. For Carr, it helps me play the Panthers, who have literally no pass rushers. Caleb's eyes were in the right spot, and we've seen him be accurate in college in the preseason. He got a little heel clicky at times. You know, that's not necessarily who he is, so I do expect it to be better this week.
Yeah. Oop.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. You probably did watch some of JT O'Sullivan's breakdown, I'm going to guess.
I did.
Yeah, I did too.
So did I. I found it edifying. My knee jerk reaction, this kind of like is a bit overarching here, but Sunday is why most NFL coaches won't start rookie quarterbacks if they don't have to do it, or unless they've already decided that they're going to do it the way that the Bears did, because that was rough from all of them. And the Patriots got, and I understand, like, let them play, let them develop, et cetera. I'm good with it for the Bears. Who else are you going to have start for Caleb Williams? He's your number one overall pick. He's supposed to play. But if you have somebody like a Jacoby Brissett over in New England who can competently run things for a couple of weeks while your kid gets ready, I think that's why you see a lot of coaches opt to do that sort of thing. Now, I think that Caleb, probably from a process standpoint, probably played the best of all of them. He just missed a lot of throws. So I'm actually not worried about him at all.
Hey, Jane Daniels won NFC rookie of the week or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think he was that good.
No, he wasn't.
He ran a lot. I mean, he ran a lot and he produced.
Oh, it was. If the first read wasn't there, he was gone. Like, see ya, goodbye. It was,
as we say, the Justin Fields. But I think Caleb. Yeah, my knee jerk reaction is that like if he just hits those throws and tamps down the adrenaline a little bit, he has a huge game, and that's why I think this week it's probably better. I think that on the other side of this, I don't want to overthink it with the defense, but I think they're going to give CJ Stroud a tough time this week, a tougher time than perhaps he's used to.
Danny?
My knee-jerk reaction is, let me start with the meatball portion of it. Gerald Taylor is good at football.
He good. And
he's going to Canton, put him in the Hall of Fame. He got 2 sacks, 1 strip sack. It's going to happen. But on the real, I had a lot of questions about both sides of the ball and the trenches coming into the season. And a lot of them were, especially on the defensive side of the ball, were alleviated, as it were. So we have a saying in the fire service. But let's say a starting defensive end is you knowing how to tie a perfect knot. There's a whole rope tying class. You learn how to tie knots. But if you don't know how to tie a knot, you tie a lot. The Bears don't have a bunch of knots around the defense. They have one really good knot in Montez Sweat, sometimes two in Andrew Billings. The rest is just we're throwing bodies at this. Like it's Taylor. It's Booker. It's Dexter. It's Billy. There's a lot of guys who maybe fill in like where they can admirably, but they can't be out there full time. But I think if you can keep rotating and keep the bodies flowing, that you'll be okay in the meantime while you figure it out or while players come into their own. Like, I think DeMarcus Walker is a solid NFL player. I think Billings is really good. I think Montez Sweat is awesome. But you just need – they're going to have to do this like death by bodies. Just keep throwing numbers at the issue until you find something that sticks. And maybe Taylor sticks. I like Taylor coming out of West Virginia. I mentioned that last week on the show. And it's a little bit of vindicating or validating to see a guy you liked coming out who they threw a 6th-round pick at to immediately come out like gangbusters. Like the last guy in a Bears uniform I can remember that played that hard, there was, I forget his, is it Daryl Sharpton? It was Al Sharpton's nephew or something, got signed as like a linebacker off the scrap heap who just came in and like played like he was set on fire. I'm going to hit everything. Now it doesn't make for a long time on the field because you're going to get hurt playing that way, but it's fun while it lasts.
Like a shooting star, you know, there for a moment, gone very quickly.
Yeah, but hopefully Taylor, given his age, will be around a little bit. And hope if he keeps playing like this, maybe they found themselves a designated pass rusher they can throw some money at to keep around.
Moving on to our Tobia, perfectly honest. Kyrie go?
Question mark?
So what is this?
This is something brutally honest. You've been on this show for like a year.
Yes, but it's been a while. Okay,
something brutally honest we have about the upcoming matchup.
There we go. I think it's going to be another. It's going to be another mid game, at best for the offense.
This is where I would play the sad trombone if I had it.
Yeah. Look, I think Caleb Williams will probably be better, but I think you're going to see him get harassed. You're probably going to see him get picked off in this one. It's just a matter of, can he make enough good plays to keep this close? Because CJ Stroud is going to make plays on him. I mean, it just is what it is. That guy's a wizard. So I think if you're coming into this game thinking, yeah, Caleb's really going to light it up, I don't know about all that.
Danny, why don't you go with your Tobia perfectly honest?
Tobia perfectly honest. I think D'Amico Ryans and that Houston defense could make life very, very hard. They got some talent. They got a good coach in Ryans who I think people undersold his ability to call a game or to develop a defense in San Francisco. And now that he's been gone, you're kind of seeing that San Francisco's still a good defense, but I think he's clearly gone back a little bit since his leaving. And, you know, they fired Steve Wilks for some strange reason. But I think Ryan's is going to see a young quarterback who've clearly struggled in his first start, and he's going to try to take advantage of that by basically making him prove he can beat the things that were beating him last week.
I can't remember who had it, but someone had the Texans ranked as the 9th best defense right now, and the Bears were 10th for whatever it matters. But would you agree that they're the 9th best overall defense or somewhere in that region?
I think that's a fair range, yeah. If I'm saying here is one of my bold predictions going into the season that the Bears are going to be a top 7-8 unit, I don't think when I line them up next to each other that they're too far off talent-wise.
Like, I guess for me, I just see more holes around. Like, I'm not as blown away by their linebacking core as I am. Like, I think the Bears have a better linebacking core. I think the Bears have a better secondary. I think, like, as a whole, I like them, I guess. I just don't, the component pieces to me aren't as inspiring.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I think when you start factoring in, I'm always of the belief that no matter how good your secondary is, there's no substitute for a great line. And I think the defensive line in Houston is really good between signing, I'm going to blank on names.
Can you name their interior?
Danielle Hunter on the edge, and then obviously Will Anderson on the edge on the other side from Alabama. Can you name
their interior?
Oh, boy. Here we go. Put me on the spot.
I think that's my point. Like, I can go say, like, the Lions have they have DJ Reader because he's a very good player, and I'm, you know, and that's important. By the way, it's Mario Edwards and Folorunso Futukoski.
Oh, Fuller Rose is a good player. I forgot they signed him this offseason.
Yeah, but I think that's my point. It's just like I'm not as blown away. And actually going to get to my, to be a perfectly honest, actually perfect transition. I am not as concerned about the offensive line this week. The Bears may have good, not great tackles, depending on how you look at Darnell Wright and Braxton Jones. Both are still young and could take steps forward, of course. This is a better matchup, right? Since the Texans' strength on the D-line is at edge. We talked about Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. Bears give up pressure up the middle last week, right? That was the biggest issue. Coleman Shelton graded as the 18th best center with a 55.1 per PFF. Tevin was a 48.7. The Bates-Davis combo was okay at 65.7, 62.4. This week, you aren't seeing Tavondre Sweat or Jeffrey Simmons, right? You're seeing...
Man, I was about to say, that Tavondre Sweat, I thought he was going to be good. That was
something.
That was uh-oh territory for the league. Like,
can you imagine how dominant this line's going to be? Like, if he can just stay healthy, if he can stay, keep the weight right, if he can keep his head right, oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, you're not getting Tavondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons. You're getting Mario Edwards, right, old friend, who is fine. And then you're getting Folorunso, who I guess you might be a little higher on than I am.
Yeah, Folorunso's a good player. He is.
And, I mean, keep in mind that each guy actually got a QB hit and actually a sack last week. So, you know, but I think that's more so because the edges did their thing and they were able to clean up. But the whole offensive line will be better, is my point.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I can get over that.
Well, ain't this humorous? Something quirky or funny about the upcoming matchup. I'll just dive right into it. Last week in the game against the Colts, Stroud was sacked 4 times. 3 of those sacks, DeForest Buckner, Quiddy Pay, and Dio Oyabingo. Butchering that, I'm sorry, Deo, ranked 5th, 6th, and 7th fastest sacks of week 1, according to Next Gen Stats. So the first two by Buckner and Pay took 3.15 seconds, and the one by Deo took 3.25, I believe. Bonus, by the way, Daryl Taylor had a sack that ranked as the 11th fastest. So my point basically is that the offensive line can be had. Laremy Tunsil had a bit of a rough week, rated out not too great by PFF standards, as he's 36th best tackle out of 67. His tackle mate, Titus Howard, was slightly better at 66.5, good for 33rd best. Their guards, Kenyon Green and Shaq Mason, graded out as the 43rd and 36th best guards out of 67. And Juice Scruggs did well, because Juice Scruggs is good, as a 9th best center. So, all in all, point being that I think that the Bears can get after it. I find it kind of funny that the Colts were able to get after it in such a way that they had the fifth, sixth, and seventh fastest sacks of the week.
Can I give you my well, ain't that humorous, or are we gonna?
Yeah,
because it's laugh to keep from crying. It's Velus Jones with the number four fumbled kickoffs in three seasons in the NFL. Yeah, it ain't funny, but I gotta laugh at it because the literal reason he was kept on this football team was because what's up?
The ferret.
Oh, it was a ferret. He's the ferret king. He is the ferret king. He told us. But he was kept on this team because of the kickoff rule change. What use are you if you fumble the kickoff and then kick the ball 15 yards forward?
That was wild.
Like, what is happening? And then by happenstance, they benched him and they found a better returner.
DeAndre Carter.
I mean,
that return, by the way, just the way they set it up, like that is basically like a trap. That was like a thing of that was beautiful.
Yeah, good on Hightower. That was a nice design.
Yes. Am I free to go? So
yeah, that's it. Just laugh, keep crying.
That's it.
Aside from Surrender Cobra,
Surrender Cobra.
My favorite part of the last game was for Roma Dunze to get his first NFL catch on whatever the hell that was, where it's like popped up in the air off a deflection from like DJ Moore, and he grabs it out of the air, and you're like, nice one, Rome, and then he promptly fumbles it. And then somehow the Bears got back on the ball. That was quite a hilarious comedy of errors that showed just how difficult it was for the Bears to do anything offensively. But good job, Rome. First NFL reception. Good job, bud.
Yeah, let's just not talk about the second half of the catch. Don't remember that.
Beautiful. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to dive even more into this game.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What you need to know about this game against the Houston Texans. The Texans have a 4-2 record against the Bears in their six matchups. The Texans have won both their games against the Bears at Energy Stadium. You may recall in the Hall of Fame game, August 1st, the Bears beat the Texans 0-17 in a storm-shortened game. Brett Rippon had those three touchdowns, but who cares? And the Bears have lost their last 9 Sunday night football game, road games, and 7 consecutive Sunday night football games overall. In games started by quarterback C.J. Stroud, the Texans went 7-2 at home last season in the playoffs. But Stroud totaled like 2,760 passing yards and 20 touchdown passes in those games. If he gets 252 passing yards Sunday night, he will surpass Patrick Mahomes, who has 3,011 passing yards, for the most passing yards ever by a player in their first and career home starts. Other players, Justin Herbert, 2,905, Kurt Warner, 2,909, and Joe Burrow, 2,008. Also, by the way, with 4 touchdown passes. Stroud with high mark. Ripien, 24 touchdown passes. And Danny White, also 24, for the 3rd most touchdown passes ever by a player in their first game. CJ Stroud's good. Oh, that was it. All right. That's all. What are we going to do in this section? Because
So the other thing I was going to follow up with that is something else that you need to know is Barnwell put out a stat last Sunday after the Bears' victory. And this just to let you know, this literally the offense can't play much worse. So any progress is baby steps and good. Barnwell's stat was teams trailing by 2 or more scores after halftime who failed to score an offensive touchdown all game had been 2-306 since 2000. The Bears made it 3-306 that Sunday. It literally, offensively, can't get much worse. You will see them be better. You will see, I'm sure, a much more tamped down Caleb, I guess I should say, because I think being on the road will be good for him, get him out of his own element, get him away from the home crowd. But I think that's something that's important to consider, like how, just to put in perspective how bad the offense was. Some 3-309, that's like 0.03% or something like that. Like, that's a terrible outcome.
No, that's like still horrible.
Like, and they still managed to come back from it and win. Thank you, Will Levis.
We have a couple quick questions to roll through before we move on to our next section. Danny, you already kind of touched on this, so I'll ask Kyrie. Kyrie, will Valus Jones be active on Sunday?
No. I think there's no reason to have him active because DeAndre Carter is going to be handling your returns. And my kid is screaming for me right now.
You've said about Phyllis.
And Travis Homer will be your RB3. There you go.
I also think there's a chance like Roshan's elevated up to take up some of those special team snaps. Next question, Danny. Did Jalen Johnson deserve to be the NFC Defensive Player of the Week over Tyreek Stevenson?
I would think on the whole, yeah, I think Jalen was better throughout the game. But I also think the pick 6 is kind of what did it in. Like, in some capacity, these awards, especially the weekly ones, I'll always akin it to, like, gold gloves in baseball. Like, sometimes the gold glove is never to the best fielder. It's just to the guy who's the most well-known player. Tyreek scored. That's really what it comes down to.
He won the game.
Speaking of Tyreek, have we ever seen a quarterback make that kind of throw? Like, where the play is over, but he's just like,
he did it.
Well, that's how Justin Fields got hurt last year.
Right.
And then he just didn't throw a pick on it.
I mean, God, that was, because it was offhanded too. It was in his left hand, right? Or did he
shuffle? No, he threw it from his right hand.
He shuffled it, yeah.
Yep, he threw it with his right hand. It's just usually when you do something like that, you try to make sure it goes out of bounds or hits the ground. But instead, he gave Tyreek Stevenson literally the easiest interception.
Oh, that was the other thing. On the Full Go podcast with Jason Goff, he said that was the literal first pick 6 Tyreek Stevenson has had in his football playing career.
No way.
Not Pop Warner, not high school, not college.
That's wild.
He had never had a pick 6. So good for you, Tyreek.
Wow. All right. Moving on to our love it, hate it, or rehabilitate it. This is where we pick a matchup.
Mommy's home.
If you were the coach, you would have focused on fixing this week. Danny, what is your love?
It's probably going to be a very similar version of this every week, but I love that you have this secondary going up against this group of wide receivers. They're very good. You got Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, you got John Mechie, I know, is still on the team, but they have a lot of really good football players, and you're just going to have to match up, especially because your pass rush probably isn't going to be all that spectacular. It might be okay, but that secondary is going to give you room for error.
You're gonna hate my hate.
It's probably because you hate that matchup. Probably because they're so good. I'm looking at it from the other side of the coin. So that
I don't Kyrie, why don't you do your love?
You're muted.
I couldn't tell if he was really pondering it for a second.
Yeah, I was mouthing it silently to the air. So thanks for obviously taking the secondary because I think that's the best one. But you know what? You know what I love? I love the way the linebackers are playing, and I loved Tremaine Edmonds making like the biggest play of the game.
Yeah,
look at that man run. I love the defense overall, but I love the way that they've been playing in the middle of the defense. And I feel like that is going to look in the secondary. I feel like that's about as good as it can get. You're not going to find too many better ones around the league, I think. Then the linebackers being able to blitz, cover ground, eat up those tight ends or running backs in space to limit yards. I mean, that was such an underrated piece of the defensive performance in the last game. And obviously, you know, TJ Edwards had a fumble recovery. You got to love it. Hate it. Obviously,
can I do my love first? Can I do my love?
Why you got to just take his thunder, man? Jeez.
Because listen, when I get on a roll, you know what it is.
I'm trying to build because my love is the Bears linebacker and interior kind of in general versus the run here. The tight end matchup with the linebackers and even some of the slot receivers, depending on how you do this. I don't want to weigh too heavily on last week. Titans came out and did some real funky stuff in the run game. If you looked, they had a bunch of motion and people were going all over the place, you know, window dressing to hide where the ball was. Also, with the new coordinators and head coach, we really had no idea what the Titans were going to do. But we saw them adjust in the second half. You know, first half, the Bears allowed 12 first downs and 64 rushing yards. But in the second half, they allowed 4 first downs on 76. So now, obviously, yes, that 76 yards of rushing is still a lot. However, it was an inefficient 76, only getting those 4 first downs when you're trying to protect the lead. When the Titans gain yards on the ground, it was not an efficient way. I do want to highlight, you know, TJ Edwards, 15 combined tackles last week. Tackle machine. Love the guy. Tremaine Edmonds had 4. He had 4. I don't know what they ask him to do because he doesn't show up in the stats really, but then he has that really important tackle like Kyrie mentioned. So I'm not trying to talk myself out of this. I do think that this Bears linebacking core is going to ultimately do better than the Colts linebacking core did. And I'm going to get to that in another point.
He's the drop third linebacker, man.
Yeah.
He's there to take up space. And when he's right, because of his size, he looks like a condor soaring through the air, taking up space. He's enormous
when he's right.
But it's just, he just doesn't feel impactful a lot of the time. And they're paying that man a lot of money to feel not impactful a lot of the time.
And it's not all just about stats, right? It's about feel. And right. There's some times where I don't feel him enough in the game, but that's, man, a whole thing. Kyrie, now, what do you hate?
I mean, I hate the matchup against CJ Stroud because I think he's awesome. I think that everything matches up well. I think for, you know, in terms of skill on skill with the Bears secondary and, you know, defense on your offensive personnel. I even think on the other side of things, things match up fine enough for the Bears to have success, but damn that CJ Stroud. I mean, he's just you're going to have trouble getting him on the ground. He's going to slip away from you. When you think you got him, he's going to dump it off in the flat when he's like in the grasp. He's getting taken to the ground. He's just going to get the ball out of his hands and he's going to make crazy anticipation throws that you can't defend. And I think that's just, you know, when you have to play against a guy like that, who you can have the perfect defense for him and he can still be liable to piece you up. That's rough.
Did you see his throw where he slipped on the logo, the Colts logo, and he still from his knees was able to get that first down?
Yep.
Just CJ Stroud.
Who does that? Who does that?
Really good.
Danny, what do you hate?
I hate this matchup of the defense in general, specifically the play caller against the offense. I think he's going to make their life very, very hard and difficult, basically just making the rookie quarterback. It's so much – I said it last week. So much of being a rookie quarterback is them – you knowing they're going to throw exotic crap at you, and you just have to overcome it. And they're going to keep doing it until you show you can beat it. Like, and I think D'Amico is really good at this. I think that defense is pretty good. And I just think you could be in for a long, miserable day, as it feels sometimes. But that such is life. I mean, I don't think anyone is picking them to – I don't think anyone is picking the Bears to win this game, right? Like,
I don't know. We'll see when we get to the over.
We'll get there, but –
Also, it's annoying how cool D'Amico Ryans is. He has to be one of the coolest coaches.
Got the most shiny head I've ever seen in my life.
Like, just such a dude. Okay, my hate. So I'm going to say this very specifically. This defensive scheme against these wide receivers. The secondary overall had a good game last week. Felt Gordon could have been a little bit better, but honestly, but the way this defense is designed, I don't, you know, the sit back, let the play develop in front of you, attack downhill, I don't think matches well with these skilled players. Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs are excellent route runners. Nico Collins is a big body with speed. They can take the top off. You know, Dalton Schultz is probably not going to play, but again, he's the fifth option. Mixon all of a sudden had this renaissance last week in terms of rushing and can catch out of the backfield. You add in Stroud's accuracy, and I can see the Texans nickel and diming down the field with the occasional explosive play, not because of the players on the defense, but just because of how this defense is constructed to prevent deep shots and to have things in front of you. I don't love that.
Yeah, I can see that. It's more just hoping the talent covers up the scheme problems.
Which I hate that we're in that position that we have to say, like, man, can the talent overcome the scheme?
I mean, unfortunately, and we talked about this with the same issue of why I just have grown to despise the Shanahan offense and it being in vogue. Because no one wants to actually develop a quarterback anymore. Everyone wants to just put someone in this offense and just make it dummy-proof so it's plug and chug. Coaches don't know how to adapt their scheme so much because they all come up under certain coaching and they only learn how to coach this way. So if you can't fit into it, they don't know how to make it work. It's why, in some capacity, I know it's easy to crap on Arthur Smith, but what he did last week with Fields with 14 quarterback runs, boots, and making him – and cutting the field in half. It was like
not throwing over the middle at all. Like just being like you need to throw there.
Like, and in some regard, that's admirable. Like, what does he not do? Well, let's not do that.
It's crazy that that's even a thought that we have to have. I'll just go right into my rehabilitate it. I'm going to sound like a broken record based on some previous stuff, but the interior pressure, I mean, Coleman Sheldon, Tevin Jenkins sucks last week. That was Tevin's worst game as a pro. Communication has to be better. The anchor has to be better and need to stay in contact with their assignments to not allow them to elevate and block passes. Caleb had way too many passes blocked. That's on Caleb too, right? He does the arm angle stuff. You know, we have to accept it a little bit because we can't be amazed by this, you know, preseason weird angle screen that he does. And then they'd be that pissed when he does it in the regular season. But at the same time, they take that screen to Rome. He had a funky arm angle, just floated over the top. Give it that little touch pass and things will go better. And then just one quick thing. The main matchup really is the edges versus the tackles. Danielle Hunter in the last two games against the Bears has 3.5 sacks, 12 solo tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 5 QB hits, a forced fumble, and a pass deflection. That man eats against the Bears. Control him. Kyrie, what would you rehabilitate?
Cole Kmet's usage. I don't think there should be any games where he only has one catch for 4 yards. And again, I think that if you're going to make life easier for Caleb, you should be running the ball more. I think you should be booting Cole Kmet, like booting him and getting Cole Kmet into the flat. Just some of those easy completions. Just let him turn up field and do what he does, which is generate yards out of, after the catch by running people over. Just make things easier for everyone by putting Cole Kmet on the field.
Danny's upset.
I don't care.
You hate Cole Kmet.
I know. I just hate that he has a love affair with the grass.
Yeah, but he catches it and then goes to the ground. That's the benefit where like the catch is made.
That is true. To kind of piggyback off Kyrie, I would like to see some easy buttons implemented. It felt like nothing offensively was easy last week.
Not one.
And whether it's the quick passing game, I would personally like, again, I know what analytics say about running the football. I think what we saw early on, DeAndre Swift's a really good damn running back. Like, he's really good. Use him. Don't be afraid of it. Like, I know Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat made your life very hard, but it felt like they abandoned it the second it got hard. Like, that's what I would rehabilitate, how you attack with the running game. Like, and I also know that just you don't necessarily need to run the ball well to set up play action and protection into it, but you need to have some sort of threat that they think you're going to do it. It felt like that at some point they just abandoned it. Like, we're not trying this anymore because it's just not working.
Yeah. Then that, because you do still have to set up the play action. I know there's advanced statistics that say you don't really need to set up the play action anymore, but you need to set up the play action. And we didn't really see any of that because they didn't run the ball. And because why would they think you're going to and all that jazz? Mm-hmm. Okay. X factors. First up, wait, did you go? Yeah, you did. Okay. Anyway, X factors for the Texans. Mine is the run game. Last week against the Colts, rushing success rate was 52.8%. The 49ers led the league last year with 46. So that shows how impressive that was for the Texans. They had 213 yards. They were super inefficient last year. They fixed it. And the Colts front seven is good. And that's when they're calling card on defense. Mixon had 159 rushing yards. Why was it working? They didn't use any 21 personnel. They had Dalton Schultz playing fullback. 13 in 39% of the plays, and they use a lot of tight end motion, sealing the edge, were very creative. Green and Mason were creating push and getting to the second level, and the Colts linebackers didn't react well due to that motion and seemed a step slow. I think, and I talked about this earlier, like if they can really create that run game again with how good those receivers are, that's going to be detrimental for the Bears. Danny, go into your X factor for the Texans.
I'm torn between two. But you kind of touched on him and how just much he's just massacred the Bears over recent meetings, and it's Danielle Hunter. I was between him and the newly acquired receiver for the Texans and Stephon Diggs. But I'm going to stick with Hunter. The guy, I think he led the league in sacks last year. The guy's an absolute terror, and he's – I believe it's their – is this their home opener, or do they open –
at home, this is a home opener because Stroud is slipping on the
and he's from Houston, the Houston area. I think that matters. I think that he's going to be an issue. And for as good as Wright was last week in pass protection, who he was lining up against and the corpse of Harold Landry is not the same thing as Danielle Hunter.
Kyrie, what you got?
I'm going to go with Kalen Bullock, rookie Ooh. Safety for the Texans, who had an interception last week. Part of that, he didn't come in, obviously, first on the Texans depth chart at safety, but he's turning into a bit of a player for them. And also, why would I think that? Because he knows Caleb Williams very well. They both went to USC, so he knows a little bit about Caleb Williams and the way that he operates, what he likes to do. Maybe even how to bait him into certain things. You know, you never know what that kind of expertise can do behind the scenes. But I mean, it sure looks like he's rangy and he has a nose for the football.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Danny, I got to ask you, just because I know how much draft stuff you do, what are your thoughts on Jalen Petrie and Kamari Lassiter in this game? So Kamari, obviously, rookie corner for them, and then Jalen Petrie, kind of that
Jalen Petrie's one of
the weird guy.
So Jalen Petrie is one of my favorite players of any defender in football because I think they can just do whatever they want with him as like this little slot attack player. I think it's what the Bears kind of envision Kyler doing or what the Ravens kind of do with Hamilton. With Kyle Hamilton, or what I assume, like I mentioned last week, what I assume that we're going to see Witherspoon be trying to do it over in not in Baltimore, McDonald's over in Seattle. Like, he's just and he's a game wrecker. Lassiter, admittedly, I wasn't the highest on, so I'm probably not going to give the fairest opinion of him. I think he's going to be fine, and I think if that Texans defense is going to succeed, I think they need him to be good, especially opposite of the corner they drafted super high. Sorry. Derek Stingley Jr. Yeah.
Okay. X factor for the Bears, Kyrie.
X factor. Well, okay. Now I got to pick a different one because I've said, you know, Cole Kmet's name however many times. So I'm not going to do that again. Okay.
Do it again. You won't.
No. No, I'm not going to do it.
Kmet, Cole. You won't.
Well, it's probably going to be. I think I'm going to pick somebody up front here on the offensive side of things. I think it's going to be like Darnell Wright. It's going to be one of your offensive tackles. Keep those guys off of Caleb Williams. I know a lot of I think a lot of the stress is going to be in the middle. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to do a little bit more help inside with whatever guard doesn't have somebody lined up on them, or, you know, with the center or what have you. But I think that's going to put, because the interior is struggling, you got to figure out ways to game plan around that. I think you're going to have your tackles dealing with a lot more of that. And Will Anderson, if I remember right, I have to look at the PFF. But I know last year, I think he was lining up more on the defense's left side, which would put him over the offense's right side, which would put him over Darnell Wright. And I think that will be a very interesting matchup to watch.
I very much prefer that. I'll go mine for X-Factor for the Bears. This seems a little obvious, but staying ahead of the chains. They had too many penalties last week, 7 for 55 yards, and plays that went for little gains, forced third and long, if not very long, if you lose 19 yards on a sack. They had an average gain of 2.8 yards per play. If you do the math on that, you don't get really a first down with 2.8 yards per play. You can't let the Texans be in a position where they let Will Anderson, Daniel Hunter, and we haven't mentioned Jerry Hughes. Yes, he's older, but Jerry Hughes is still good as a part of that rotation, pin their ears and get after you. Danny.
So Eric Washington, I'm going to go like two-part with Eric Washington and Montez Sweat. I think it matters a lot what Montez Sweat does, even if he's not – because last week he wasn't good statistically, but you could feel him.
Yeah,
because he just commands so much attention. So I think – and then Washington obviously cutting his teeth as a defensive line coach, making sure that they're implementing stunts or whatever it is to get these linemen free rushes to get home to the quarterback, because you have to make C.J. Stroud as uncomfortable as possible without sending pressure, because I think he's one of those quarterbacks that when you start sending pressure from other places, he's going to find where the weakness is because you brought more than you should. He's just that level of talent.
Yeah, that's a good one. Over unders. So we'll alternate this. We'll go two at a time. So I'm going to give two to Kyrie, two to Danny, because I kind of have it in that way. Kyrie, Caleb Williams passing touchdowns over under 1.5.
I'm going to say under.
I thought 0.5 was too easy just to throw an over on. So I was like, I'll dangle the 1.5 at you. You know what? We'll both do this. Whatever. This will be quick. What do you got for that one, Danny? Caleb Williams touchdowns 1.5.
Under.
You both are not fun. You're probably right, but still. C.J. Stroud passing yards, Danny, 225.
225, over.
Kyrie.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be over. That was a little bit more tempting because it's like, what if the Bears just have a crazy defensive game?
Yeah, he had 234 last week against the Colts, just for a reference point. Kyrie, Cole Kmet receptions. Four.
Give me the up on that one.
Danny, the Cole Kmet curmudgeon. I like the alliteration.
Cole Kmet curmudgeon. Yes.
All right. Danny is taking the under. Danny, Joe Mixon rushing yards, 70.
Under.
All right.
And
Say that again.
Yeah, I mean, take the 70 rushing yards, 70. Under. Danny, why were you taking the under?
I just think that they're going to really – I think the Bears' run defense is good first and foremost, and I think they're just going to make it hard to run the ball. And Mixon, for as good as his game was last week, and we called it the renaissance, I think some part of it is just like – Mixon to me is – Joe, I need 4 yards. I got you, coach. Joe, I need 8 yards. I got 4 yards for you, coach. Like, he's never been like this super – he's reliable, and he's steady, and he's really good. He can take a lot of carries. I just have never, like, thought of Joe Mixon as this, like, game-breaking back.
Yeah.
Reliable and steady and good. There's nothing wrong with those things. He's a really good player. It's just not someone I think of as, like, being someone that, like, can end a game because he's running roughshod over you for 8 to 10 yards a pop.
Kyrie, sacks for Daryl Taylor, 0.5.
I'm gonna say none for him.
Ooh, he's held shut out a sack, or he gets a half sack. Danny,
I'll say over. I'll be fun with it.
I just think there's going to be sacks this game. I mean, I'm going to say over because I think there are going to be sacks. If you're going to put focus somewhere, you're going to put it on Montez Sweat. And I think he can, because of that relentless motor that Taylor has, he finds himself getting a sack. Danny, this is a pick'em. You did this last week. Receiving leader in yards, Moore, Allen. We'll throw a Dunze, but I don't think he's playing, and Cole Kmet.
You know, it seems like they're really targeting Keenan Allen to get him involved.
Yeah, a lot.
But I'm going to stick with DJ Moore just because he's the best one. I'll stick with DJ Moore. I'm really tempted to go with Allen, but I'm going to stick with DJ.
Yeah, DJ did lead with 36 yards last week, but Keenan Allen led in targets with 11. Kyrie, who are you taking?
I'm going to go contrarian and say Keenan Allen.
Yeah, for probably the exact same reason where there's a lot of targets. And if you think about it, I mean, there's at least three throws. The one where, you know, Caleb Williams overthrew him, the touchdown that was dropped, and then also the one where Coleman Shelton got blasted by Ernest Jones. So all three of those would have put up over what DJ Moore did. And then last one. So Kyrie will go first on this one. Same thing, but this is a pick 'em for targets for the Texans. Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell.
Stephon Diggs. He's a target eater. That's what he does.
Danny.
I'll stick with Stephon Diggs. Yeah. He eats up the targets. And you have to, because otherwise he's going to throw a shit fit.
Last week, Nico Collins led the Texans in targets with 8. Tank Dell had 7. Stephon Diggs had 6. All right. That's interesting stuff. All right. This is our Bear gut check. We use our gut feelings, revitalized by Kabuchi, of course, to give our game predictions against the line. Bears at Texans, -6.5. Danny.
Bears cover, Texans win. I think I know the stat came out where Eberflus was like something like at 6.5 point dogs or more. He's like 1-10 or something like that.
That was also a bad team, though, too.
Yeah, it's not great, but I'll say they cover, and I'll even call a score. It's like it's going to be like 24-20 or something like that. Like, it's just – they're just not going to have enough firepower, and you're going to have the people calling Eberflus a coward because he's going to take points versus going for it on, like, 4th-and-1.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious – before I let Kyrie go on this one – I'd be really curious if you did like a dive analytically and showed how often Flus goes for the points versus. I think he goes for it on 4th a lot. Like he did.
Feel like he's fairly aggressive too. Honestly,
in the Titans game, they did it. Like they could have taken the field goal and they went for it, and they got it, and then they kicked the field goal eventually. But like,
he's like can't do it again.
But he's a surprisingly aggressive coach. All right, Kyrie, -6.5 Texans favorite.
Texans cover and win. I'm going to go with something more like I'm going to go with something more like 24-17.
Get out of my face! Get out!
Get out!
Yeah, I'm going to say like 24-17.
And in the is best bets article, Austin Mock said this. Bears needed a special teams touchdown and a pick six to win at home against the Texans last week. And now I can get CJ Stroud and the Texans at under a touchdown and an extra point. Sign me up. I think this game has potential for a blowout, as I'm not sure the Bears offense with a rookie quarterback and a shorthanded wide receiver room is ready to go on the road and compete with a playoff caliber team. I think that's a little much. I don't think they're going to get blown out, but I'm similar to what Danny was saying. I think it's going to be like 24-20. I hate to copy a score, but that's actually what I had written down here. I think they cover, but I don't think they win. Tonight's game, Bills at Dolphins. Dolphins favored by 2.5. Kyrie.
Dolphins favored by 2.5. Yeah. Give me Bills.
Ooh, new look Bills. Danny.
I'm taking the Bills outright. I think that for all the fun stuff that Mike McDaniel is also fun. Mike McDaniel is really good offensive play caller, but I think that they're just leaning into this thing really heavily on all speed, no power. I don't think that defense is any good. And you lost the superior defensive play caller. And I love this stat. Through 2 years of head coach of the Dolphins, he won the same amount of games as Brian Flores.
You and I have a very specific view on Brian Flores that a lot of people don't agree with those
things. And I don't care. I think Sean McDermott is I think you might be having a Josh Allen fucking MVP year where he's just doing whatever he wants. And my guy Keon Coleman looked awesome last week.
Love Keon Coleman. Did you see the clip of him trying to get the ball for who was it? I mean, the running back. Someone scored, and like he spent the next like 2 minutes trying to get the ball from
trying to get the ball. Yeah.
He took a lot of crap in preseason, and I feel like I just kind of kept on telling people like, yeah, he's not going to time great, but he's better at football.
He plays
football. That's what he does.
Josh Allen also, by the way, is 6-0 on Thursday night. So in theory, you should take the Bills also for that reason. I'm going to take the Dolphins. I think if you get to a shootout, I'm not sure that you can keep up with the Dolphins in this one. And it's also September. It's not December. So the Dolphins aren't ready to lose a ton of games quite yet. Next one, Chargers at Panthers. I have this one on there just because cool. I want the Panthers to lose to get a higher second round pick. Chargers are favored by 6.5 points. Danny.
I think Harbaugh, you know, I know they're tearing it apart, but Harbaugh is a great coach. And until otherwise, I'm going to believe in them. And Herbert, I think, is one of the 4 or 5 best quarterbacks in football. So, yeah, Chargers cover, Chargers win. And Ladd McConkey goes off.
McConkey.
Oh. I need Quentin Johnson to do better. Kyrie, who you got?
This is okay. Oh,
this is Chargers.
I mean, come on.
6.5.
Come on. Like the Panthers are so bad, I won't take them for anything this year.
Yeah, they're bad. Next one, Colts at Packers. Colts favored by 3.5. The Packers will more likely, but not. They're not saying that Jordan Love's out, which is insane to me. But Jordan Love's out. This is insane, and he's also going to miss multiple weeks. Kyrie, who you got?
Not the Packers. I just don't, especially like Malik Willis. I just don't buy it. I don't see how he could possibly be good. And Anthony Richardson's an alien, so I think he's gonna find a way to not just win this game, but also do something we've never seen before.
Danny,
see Kyrie's thoughts, please.
Yes. I'm also still not impressed with the Packers defense yet. I mean, I guess that Friday game was weird, but I'm still not impressed. Buccaneers at Lions. The Lions are favored by 7. Seems like a lot of points to me.
I kind of want to pick the Buccaneers outright.
I think Bucs just straight up win this.
I think they straight up win. And is it possible Mayfield's just good at football?
When he's not saddled by the Browns? Yeah.
Like, I thought he was going to regress after Canales left, and last week was like he was good. Like he was really good.
someone started an entire, like, in fantasy football, an entire roster that was just Bucs players, and they won. I mean, like, that's that fantasy isn't everything, but Baker played very well last week.
So, and I've always been a Baker guy. I love the confidence that he just absolutely plays with. Can we bring back
the progressive commercials, please? Like, can we have, like, one where he's moving to the new stadium? And, like, I love those commercials.
Yeah.
Kyrie.
I'm going to have to redo that one because I'm listening to my kid over in the background.
Oh, Buccaneers, Lions are plus or minus 11 and a half, you said?
Seven
and a half.
This is a good game. This is a good game. I think I'm a rock with the Lions on this one.
They're gonna cover the 7?
I think it could happen. I think this, I don't know. I'm going out on a limb a little bit more with the Lions than I'm used to. I think Baker Mayfield's playing great, but at home, you know, with all this optimism and fuzzy feelings, why not?
Man, that Lions team like barely beat a bad Rams defense, and that's I'm concerned about what they really did. But
like I said, week one.
Yeah, week one's weird. Kyrie, while I got your attention, 49ers at Vikings. 49ers are favored by 6.
I mean, come on. Give me the 49ers.
You don't believe in Sam Darnold?
Listen, Sam Darnold, I'm really happy for you, bro. Now you've got to play a real team. Sorry.
Similar thought. I think that you're talking Super Bowl contender again with the Niners.
A Coccyx and Bull story. We're all wrapping up here. Last couple categories. Rapid fire through this. Bold predictions. I'm going to say, piggybacking on Kyrie's main man, Danny's adversary, Cole Kmet scores a touchdown.
I'm coming.
Danny.
Coccyx and Bull story. DeAndre Swift for 100 total yards between the ground and the air.
Sexy. Love it. Kyrie.
Caleb Williams breaks 200 yards and gives his touchdown.
That's pretty bold considering last week. Offensive player of the game. Give me Keenan Allen. He's going to catch the balls that are thrown to him, and he will not get overthrown. Danny.
Let's stick with DeAndre. He does that. They have a good game.
Makes sense. Kyrie.
Cole Kmet. He's going to catch the lone touchdown.
Lone. Ugh.
For one of his two catches.
There you go. Double up from last week.
Defensive player of the game. I got TJ Edwards racking up the touchdowns. Tackles, not touchdowns. Racking up the tackles and getting an interception off some weird tip. Danny.
I'm going to be a caricature of myself. Give me Jaquan. Let's go. Jaquan Brisker's just
got to.
He's awesome, man. He was good last week.
He was very good.
I'm sorry. I'm going to stop.
Kyrie.
Kyler Gordon. He's going to be everywhere, doing everything.
All the time.
Last category, our King of the North, a.k.a. MVP. You know what? And, Kyrie, we introduced a new rule, by the way, last week, Danny and I. You're only allowed to pick Caleb Williams once for this category. So you have to be very specific about when you pick him. So who is going to be the King of the North? Yeah.
So who's going to be the man this week?
Yeah,
I'm not at that point where I'm going to be picking Caleb Williams for that just yet. Montez Sweat. Havoc wreaking, finding a way to get to CJ Stroud, wrestle him to the ground, maybe separate him from the football once.
Danny.
I don't really have a good answer for this because I have a hard time giving the MVP to a Bear, but I understand the nature of the category. So
I mean, I guess you could do King of the South and pick a Texan.
No, well, that's the Queen of the South. That's a great show, by the way. Anyway. I'll go with DJ Moore. He's gonna have a really good game, I think. And I feel like he's so strong and so fast put into that frame that all it takes is him shedding that first tackle and he could go.
Yeah. I'm gonna be a caricature of myself and I'm gonna pick Tory Taylor. I think this is gonna
stop
be
that. Stop
field,
it.
This is gonna be a field position battle where he's gonna have a punt or two that sets you up in a way where your defense can make a stop in a way that your offense can score. And I think at the end of the day, when you look at that net gain and loss from that, it's gonna be really important in this game.
Sure.
All right, that's all we got. Nice long show for y'all here. Thank you, of course, always to Danny, to Kyrie for coming in. Thanks to Maya for making that guest appearance. That was fantastic.
The best.
Thanks to Maya also for making a rather prolonged bathroom break right in the middle of the show.
Yeah. Any last words, Kyrie, before we get out of here?
I really hope that Sunday coincides with me getting the stitches out of my knee. So that I can start walking like a normal human.
What even happened to your knee? What'd you do?
Laceration on the stanchion of the basketball hoop that I was playing on. Oh, it was exposed. They didn't have the cover at the bottom. Went straight into it.
Lawsuit.
Honestly, they got to do something about that. That's bad. You should see how deep that cut was. It was rough.
Gross.
Danny, final thoughts.
Nothing really. Just enjoy the games as always. It's going to be a fun weekend of football. I mean, we're now in the thick of it. We are here, and it is time to enjoy every last week.
My final thought is I'm looking at the season in terms of like kind of quarters. I'm taking, you know, four or five games at a time, and I'm saying, how does it look in this cluster? I would advise the same. Don't go week to week. Don't go, you know, freak out with the highs and lows. Week 12 should look very different than week two. That's all, everyone. Bear down.
All right.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.